Good morning. Many of you probably know me or have seen my name associated with different activities as I am involved in several things here at the church. I oversee children's ministry, as Pastor Troy said, and I also oversee our local MomCo group. It was formerly known as MOPS. And I also fill and serve in other areas, often overcommitting, because I'm passionate about ministry and making connections. I believe strongly in providing opportunities for people to connect because that's where I believe in those connections is where we find the hope that leads us to Jesus. My favorite and most important ministry is to my family, and so I have some pictures to show you. The first one, my husband and I, Glenn, have been married for 23 years this July. And then in 2005, we welcomed our son, Cole, and he has always been our one hunter and loves history. Andrew was born in 2007, and he's our car guy. And then we have Molly in 2011. She came, and she has always been our stylist. And then the next few pictures are just a few of my kids that I just love. The middle one in particularly, dress up was really big at our house, imagination exploring the backyard. The boys were either cowboys, soldiers, or Lord of the Rings, and they were very gracious to let their little sister tag along with them. And then the next picture, one of my favorites, because this is usually how real life goes for us, that one of my boys will say something that warrants that mom face. And so while they're laughing about it, my husband used to do a really good job of composing himself. Now he just joins in with them. And Molly joins in as well. And it's now become a game of who can get the best reaction out of mom, which I always fall into because it just, I react very well. And then finally, last July, we welcomed Addie into our family. And so that is my family. And that is what qualifies me to speak here today, which is good because quite often I do not feel qualified in what I do. My confidence is solely in the hope I have in Christ and the truth of Scripture that says God the Father made me on purpose with a purpose. Jesus is my Savior, and the Holy Spirit dwells in me. It is with this confidence and truth that I continue to do what I feel God has called me to do. Minister to my family first, connect moms to other moms, teach biblical foundations to children, and provide biblical resources to families, all with an underlying theme of encouragement and hope in Jesus. In the many hats I wear, being a wife and mother is my absolute favorite, but in a close second is encouragement. You will find me cheering loud at a baseball game. And sending text and thank yous, coffee meetups, small gifts, and prayers are just ways that I show my encouragement to you. Usually I'm cheering on moms, but my hope today is that even those that aren't moms or don't have children at home can still be encouraged. I hope you hear something that you can either share with someone else or tuck away for another season of life. As I prayerfully planned for this speaking opportunity, this question came to mind. What do our kids need today? And this is what I felt the response was. Teach them, correct them, and disciple them. Now I'm speaking from my motherhood experiences and being Mother's Day. Some of this may be more directed towards moms, but I believe this can relate to all of us. Dads, teach your children, correct them, and disciple them. Grandparents and other family members, especially if you are the really cool aunt and uncle, friends and godparents, and us as a church family, we are all called in some way to teach, correct, and disciple. And we all have a part in speaking hope and truth to others, especially into our children, whether they're ours or not. God's word says in 1 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we start with teaching them, which I recognize seems very natural. It's just something that we do. But today, I would encourage you to be intentional. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. My Bible has a footnote that says that it could be the word start, and that may be how your version is. Start a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And I love both those words, because to me, start means when they're young, when they're little, start teaching them. And then training is that continual, consistent, all the way teens, maybe even to the young adult, there's some training opportunities. So starting intentionally when they are young means you set that foundation, boundaries and expectations for your family. To help you with this, what is it that you want your family to be known for? Is there a virtue like compassion or honesty that you would want as your family's reputation? If so, teach it to your children. Talk to them about it. Remind them. In paraphrasing Joshua 24:15, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Use scripture as a foundation for your family. Explain it to your kids, and then think about what does it look like for your family to serve the Lord. For my husband and I, we chose to raise our kids independent of us and dependent upon God. It was something that I heard years ago at our mom's group, and as we discussed it, we thought that is exactly how we want to raise our kids. We wanted them to be responsible, have good worth ethic, know that the world does not revolve around them, understand finances, and be able to function in society, all while trusting God. So when the time comes to send them on their way, they'll go in confidence of living on their own, but have that biblical foundation of knowing there is a God who created them and has a purpose for them, a Savior who wants a relationship with them, and a Holy Spirit that guides and convicts them. Intentionally teach your children. The next one is correct them. And I will be honest, I was about ready to take this one out because I know it is a very sensitive topic. But correcting is in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, then it needs to be talked about. I will tread carefully because although I believe it is something that needs to be addressed, I also understand it to be something that often comes better when it's a one-on-one conversation with a relationship that has been built so the conversation has a platform to sit on. So today I want to offer you encouragement, not judgment. So please hear my heart behind this. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:11, "Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right." Our children are known by their actions. Now I know there are times children are labeled unfairly. And I think it's important for all of us on the outside to remember that parenting is hard. And just because a child is being disobedient in a public place or a teen gives you attitude does not mean that mom and dad are not correcting at home. Because I bet if you remember back to a certain time in your life that your mama had set those boundaries and you said, I'm gonna think about it, right? You stepped over that line a time or two. But generally, you can tell the children who are being disciplined and those who have free rein. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline is pleasant at time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Honestly, I don't want to be disciplined. I don't want to live under rules. I don't want to have to watch what I eat. I don't want to exercise. I want the world to revolve around me because it just makes it a whole lot easier. But if I do, there are consequences, and those consequences don't only affect me, but they affect those around me. And we all will be held accountable for our actions someday. And I don't know about you, but when I stand before God the Father, the righteous judge, and he has a long list of my failures, I am hoping that I can plead my case with something like, "God, I tried. In my humanness, I know I failed, but please see the intent of my heart." And in thinking this over in the last month, I can just imagine an awkward silence. And then I wonder if God might say, "Deidre, you did fail. And you failed often. And those best intentions, they didn't come close to covering any of it. But my grace covers those failures." Now, I don't know what that judgment day is going to look like. I may not even have the opportunity to plead my case, and I may not have to because I have made the decision for Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, and I know I am covered by the blood. And that gives me hope. And it gives me reason to not continue in my sin, but I make every effort to live a life pleasing to God, not perfect in any way. Just making an effort, as Paul reminds us in Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We will be held accountable for our actions, as will our children. We need to correct them starting at a young age and training them as they get older in the way they should go, just like the Bible says. If it's a behavior that will be inappropriate, disrespectful, or sassy at 13, then it's not a cute behavior at 3. Set the boundaries with clear expectations of the consequences for disobedience. Be consistent in correcting them. Tell them no. Don't be afraid to tell your mama's no, to tell your kids no. They need to hear it from you, right? Daddies, tell your little girls no. Mamas, tell your kids no. Will it be hard? Yes. Will you struggle and be pushed to your limit? Absolutely. Will there be tears from both you and your child? There will be lots and lots of tears. But is it worth it? Always. Always worth it, because you are kingdom building, and it is in being obedient to Christ. So don't give excuses for your child's bad behavior. Correct them by establishing boundaries, hold fast to consequences, and offer grace through teachable moments. Now, at this point, I do want to acknowledge that sometimes the life we planned does not go the way we hoped. And this can be especially true for parenting, because parenting is hard. There is no manual, it's on-the-job training, and there's no guarantee that what you are doing will produce the results that you expect. You teach and you train, you give your best advice, warnings and consequences, but ultimately, your children will make their own choices. My children make their own choices. And so if this is the season you are in, I know there are others that can relate much better to you, offering you wisdom and sharing in your grief. And this is where I love how God shows up, because I may not be able to relate to your experience, but I can listen, and I can pray for you, and I can encourage, and I can provide the opportunity for you to connect to someone who has walked in your shoes. That's what MomCo is all about. It's mom in all stages of motherhood, from infant to adult children, supporting one another. And that's what I see in the Quilters group and men's meet and greet, Sunday school, and small groups. It's why we hosted a Mother's Day tea, to give an opportunity for you to connect to others walking in a similar path, so that you will be encouraged and supported in the name of Jesus. There may be hardships and obstacles to overcome, but there is always hope and grace. And so maybe for today, your training looks like prayer. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. There are things that happen in the mighty name of Jesus. So don't stop praying, mamas, especially when it comes to your kids. And finally, disciple them. Families, I love when you bring your kids to church. I love when you bring them to Sunday school, kids' church, the nursery, family events. I love it all. I love it when they sit in service with you. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop bringing your kids to church. But you have to set a foundation of Jesus in your home. You can't expect your kids to learn only about Jesus at church. They have to experience it at home. I just heard a children's ministry leader last week say that she has a jar of 168 rocks that represent 168 hours in a week. And she tells parents, if I get your kids for 1, maybe 2, hopefully 3 hours a week, there's still a whole lot of time left. Parents, you are the primary faith teachers of your children. So in discipling your kids, you are giving them the tools to grow in their faith and knowledge of the Bible. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and gates." Now, we don't go around binding things to our foreheads, but some of us do have Bible verses tattooed on us. And we wear Christian jewelry along with t-shirts that have scripture references. And you probably have some kind of sign in your house that references scripture. So do you talk to your children about these things? Do they know the reason behind the verse you choose to display? Talk with your kids at home about Jesus. Teach them how to read the Bible so they can know the truth for themselves. Be an example by you reading your Bible. You may have heard it as a devotion time or quiet, but really all it is taking time out of your day to focus on God, reading your Bible so you understand and know who God is. It's something you can do in the morning, on your lunch break, before you go to bed. It's not the time of day or how long you spend, but the preparation and attitude of your heart to be in a place where you can listen to God. When you're in the trenches of motherhood with littles, or you're trying to survive during a sports season, I know you don't feel like adding anything more into your day, and I get it. It just looks like another thing on the to-do list. But don't view it as that. View it as the refreshing that your soul needs. Keep your Bible open on the counter so you can catch glimpses of scripture throughout the day. Find a verse to memorize and put note cards up. Get the YouVersion Bible app that we use as a church and just listen to the audio version of a devotional or a portion of scripture as you're cleaning and running errands, as you're waiting for that really, really long soccer or baseball practice to end. Read Bible stories to your kids and then read them for yourself, asking, how does this apply to my life? There are so many good Bible resources out there, streaming channels that teach the Bible that offer so much more than just telling your kids to be nice, because there's so much more than just being nice. Our kids went to bed listening to Adventures in Odyssey. If you're not familiar with it, it's a Christian radio drama that taught biblical truths through stories and adventures. They now have a website, so you don't have to have the cassette tapes or the CDs like we did back in the day. There's also Superbook, if your family does any screen time or online gaming. Again, it encourages your children to read the Bible through games, videos, and discussion. Families make time for family dinner. Yes, family dinners. They cover all three points. They give you wonderful opportunities to teach your children, correct, and disciple, because there's no doubt that when you're starting when they're little, to get them to sit at the table is a bit of a challenge. And so you're constantly, we're sitting at the table. Now is the time to sit at the table. Please sit at the table, right? Continuing. And then it moves into a correcting opportunity because maybe as they get older, they start kicking each other under the table. I don't know if your kids do it, but somehow napkin pieces end up flying and ending up in people's drinks. So there's always that opportunity to correct, and then that can lead into discipleship opportunities because there will always be a conversation of patience and forgiveness. So yes, always lots of opportunities at the dinner table, no matter how old they are. Make time for family devotions too. Your teen will roll their eyes at you, but tell them to get their Bible, sit down, and start reading. Be intentional in training them. Especially when it comes to teaching them about God, whatever you are doing, invite Jesus into it. Make him the priority of your life so that your children can make him the priority of theirs. Another thing to be intentional about is to make sure your kids know that it is their own faith they have to live out. Parents, your children will not go to heaven because of you. Kids, it's not grandma's prayers that are getting you into heaven. It has to be your decision to follow Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this just isn't for kids, this is for all of us. We all sin and deserve the punishment for our sins. But the good news is that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:16-17. And Paul makes it clear that we need, in Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Discipleship is also where the church body steps in. It's part of our calling in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to go very far because we have people right here in our church, kids, teens, and adults that need to be discipled. Discipleship is also something that our church body agrees to do. Every time Pastor Troy does a baby dedication, he turns to the congregation, which is all of you, and he says, I now ask the congregation, will you support yourself as the body of Christ to support and encourage these parents as they endeavor to fulfill the responsibilities to this child and to assist them by nurturing their growth towards spiritual maturity? And we all answer, we will. And it's not just a statement that we repeat to be in good standings, church. This is a call to action. And so what does it look like? It looks like being involved and making time for relationships. What church activities could you take part in that connect our generations? Or a different way to word that question is, what do you not see on the church calendar that should be? Because we could have that conversation. There are a lot of areas that we're just looking for people to step up and to help serve. Invest in a family. The child, the teen, the parent, and the grandparent. Discipleship is not just a kid thing. It's building relationships and encouraging all believers in the faith. And I found a psalm that I think goes really well with this. So if you want to turn in your Bible, it's Psalms 145. And it goes like this. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your domain endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of everything living. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears the cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And I don't know if you heard it or not, but throughout that passage, they will speak and they will tell. And more specifically in verse 4, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. And what I love about this is it doesn't say the older generation. It just says one generation. We, as the working body of Christ, tell one another about the mighty deeds and the awesome things he has done in our lives. And we do it so they will know. The kids will know. The teens will know. The young adults and the in-betweeners and the prime timers. So that we will all know of the great things that God has done. We're going to go ahead and close. And as we do, I asked Will to go ahead and do one of my favorite songs because it's right from Scripture. It's called The Blessing. I pray it over my family often, and I actually pray it over your family as well because it's just a beautiful portion of Scripture. When we walk in obedience to Christ, there are blessings that come, and not just blessings for you here, but for thousands of generations. What you are doing here today and being here will have lasting effects on your family. So I would just ask, as you join us, whether you sit or stand, but just receive this blessing today.